Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 8 for your reference after we pray. Okay, let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for giving us this day, this Lord's Day, where we have the great privilege of gathering with brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the great privilege of worshiping you as a group, studying your word, and just getting our hearts and minds refreshed, refocused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this. And Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Even though our requests are few today, we know, Father, that each of us are always in need of your presence. Each of us are always facing a battle, Lord, where that we need victory from you. And so I just lift up everyone in this room. I pray, Father, you'll give them guidance. You'll give them wisdom. You will give them victory, Lord, over the things that they face. I pray you give us courage to admit to you, Father, where we're wrong. And I pray you give us courage to let you teach us the truth. And I pray, Father, you'll help us to live out, God, the things that we believe. Not for ourselves, Father, but for your glory. So that people would see Christ in us and desire to know him as well. And Father, I thank you that we can cast our cares on you because you care for us. And you're able to do far more than we could even ask or think. And Father, I thank you for the blessing that Jeff got to go home on Father's Day. Thank you, Father, for seeing him through. Thank you for healing him and protecting him. And Father, we want to pray for Bonnie. We pray, Father, that you'll heal her body from the sickness she picked up this weekend. And we want to pray for Beth Bowlhaus, Father, that you will heal her legs. We pray you'll strengthen her knees and give her, God, the things that she needs. Please bless her health. Please strengthen her body. And Father, we want to pray together that you would bless this time now as we study your word together. As we read, Father, I pray that you will teach us. This isn't about me. This isn't about us. This is about you, Father, and us learning from you and us doing your will. So I pray you'll give us wisdom. Pray you'll correct us. I pray you'll teach us as we study. And we ask all these things. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 12. Proverbs 8 and 9, we've referenced them a couple times in our study so far, and it's been difficult for me because I have this great desire. I can't wait to get to chapter 10 where we start, where each verse is its own lesson. And I'm excited about getting there. I have this great temptation to skip chapters 8 and 9, but I just couldn't do it. So we're just going to read through and talk about a few things. So Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, I'm going to read from 12 all the way to 36. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign. And rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. Wisdom says in verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Just incredible, beautiful scripture. You see why it's so hard to skip that stuff. Okay. You guys, we've talked about some of this several times. That's another reason why I don't want to skip, or I want to skip, because I don't want to be too repetitive. But keep reminding myself, the Bible repeats things. It's for a reason. Wisdom and knowledge, you guys understand, are not the same thing. Wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Okay? Knowledge is awareness of facts, awareness of truth that you accumulate as you learn. But wisdom is the ability to take the knowledge that you have and apply it to your life and live it out. Now, wisdom is the skill of living a godly life. Wisdom here is personified. We know that wisdom itself is not a person, okay? But wisdom belongs to God. And so, in a sense, as we're studying wisdom, we are studying God because it's in His character. And as we read, you probably noticed, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, you probably could recognize Jesus Christ and some things about Him that apply to wisdom that we're going to get into. So, a couple things I wrote down. So, these words that the verse 12 starts off with, wisdom, prudence, knowledge, and discretion. I wanted to be able to understand these things. Wisdom includes all of these things, prudence, knowledge, discretion. But what are they exactly? Well, I already told you what knowledge and wisdom are, but prudence means simply insight. Insight. To give you a little bit more definition, I came up with this definition, is to be clever and cautious. To be clever and cautious. That's prudence. For an example, let's read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, the simple believes every word. A simple man, an immature person, a naive person, they believe everything they hear. Okay? The rest of the verse says, but the prudent considers well his steps. The prudent considers well his steps. He does not believe everything that he hears. He takes the time to think about things, to prove them, and to be sure that he is taking his steps carefully. That's prudence. Hopefully these days, whenever information comes your way, the first thing you guys say is, let me find out if that's true or not. Because there is a lot of misinformation, a lot of flat-out lying going on. Don't just believe everything that you hear. That's prudence. Discretion. Discretion is the ability to form a plan. Discretion is a planning skill. The ability to form a plan and to finish a plan. I wrote down a verse here that uses the word in a good sentence. Psalm 112, verse 5 says, a good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. The ability to take the time to plan and guide your affairs is discretion. All these things God gives us in wisdom. This wisdom is only available to a person who fears the Lord. As we see in Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We've also learned already in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. You really can't come to the place where you start to understand facts, the truth, until Jesus is given his rightful place as Lord of your life, and you take your rightful place as a repentant, humble servant of God. When that happens, when you make Jesus Lord and you become his servant, that's when wisdom begins. Now you're in a place where God can start teaching you the truth. And that's why when you talk with people who don't believe, it's very difficult sometimes to try to explain to them the truth about things from the Bible, because they don't understand yet. They can't until they fear the Lord.
To them it's nonsense.
To them it's foolishness. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, there's godly wisdom and there's worldly wisdom, right? And worldly wisdom is foolishness to God. But to the world, the things of God are foolish. And obviously, one of them are wrong. And I'm going to stay on God's side here. The opposite of the fear of the Lord, the opposite of the wisdom we're talking about here, is pride and arrogance. To think that you know better than God does. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes." Do not be wise in your own eyes. Well, I know the Bible says this, but I think... So that's Proverbs 3:7. It's also in the New Testament. We don't have to go there. I'm just going to quote it for you. Romans 12, verse 16 says, "Do not be wise in your own opinion." Do not be wise in your own opinion. It's okay to have opinions about certain things, but when it comes to spiritual matters, we let God teach us. We don't take our opinion to him. And speaking of that, this is why it's so important that you read your Bible, okay? You have to read your Bible, not just do devotions. Lots of people, instead of reading their Bible, they do devotions. You may have your favorite devotion book. People have their favorite Bible study book. They have their favorite Bible study persons that they read all the time. And in their place, those things are okay. But you can't live off those. You can't live off those. Because if you're only living off devotions and Bible studies, you're living off the words of man. You're not living off the words of God. And if that's what you're living off of, it might be too late by the time you figure out that that person's leading you astray. That's why you have to read your Bible. The Bible comes first. And then if you want to throw in a devotion or a Bible study, that's fine. And then you'll be prepared to discern if you're being taught the truth or not. There's too many people, they're wise in their own opinion that they've learned from someone else. And they think they're studying their Bible. Does that make sense? This is about what God has to say about the matter. What you think about spiritual matters is of no importance. Realize that? It's what does God say about the matter? Does God say this is okay? Does God say this is wrong? Is this how I should handle this situation? There are a lot of important issues that the Bible may not speak to directly, right? But if you're studying your Bible, you can apply principles to just about anything. Let me give you a couple examples of that. In 1 Corinthians, Paul kind of addresses this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, dealing with things that come up that you may not have a specific command about or a specific word on. Paul kind of addresses it like this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything. As a believer, I think one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he helps us recognize when something is taking over your life and you have to make a correction. And it doesn't matter whether you can find a specific word about it. This thing is taking up too much of your life, right? It's got power over you. It needs to go. That's one way. There's more. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because he says the same thing almost. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." It may be something that's totally fine, but it may cause harm to someone around you. And that makes it not okay. Because verse 24 says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being."
Pastor Corey, I have a cool example of that in real life. I had this friend who was a real bad marijuana addict. And, you know, God took that away and he was done with it. Well, my friend thought it would be good for him to get rid of his stuff, all the old, like, paraphernalia and anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he picked this friend to give it to. I said, wait. First of all, wait. And that edifying right there is it is in the Word. Yeah. Because now that's not, you've got to look out for your neighbor, we learned, for their benefit. We are to protect them.
So you just realize something is bad.
Yeah.
You don't give it to somebody else.
Yes. And not only that, but now the devil can use that friend to come in the back door and come swing it right on back around.
Yeah.
So wisdom, Lord, keep us wise. Help us.
Staying in this section of 1 Corinthians 10, I want to talk about this next example he gives. Because one of the words that we studied earlier is the word prudence, to be shrewd, to be clever, and to be cautious. This is interesting. So in verse 27, check this out. The guy at work, we read our Bible together. He laughs at me every time I say, check this out. Check this out. He's thinking in this idea about other people, benefiting other people, edifying, building up other people. So in verse 27, it says, if any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. He also said up above, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no question for conscience sake. What's that got to do with anything? Well, back in that day when they were these false idols, they had temples around town, they would offer sacrifices to their false gods, and then they would sell the meat. And they would sell the meat in the market, and Paul is saying, if you just go to the store to buy food, you don't have to be asking, where did this come from, where did this come from? It's there, it's for sale, just buy it. When you go to someone's house, they invite you over for dinner, you want to go, you have it on your heart, you know, this would be a good opportunity for me to be an influence, be a witness maybe, and you want to go, go ahead and go. When they serve you the food, don't ask questions about where it came from, if it was offered to idols, anything like that. You don't have to be nitpicky. Mm-hmm. Just eat it. Just be thankful. Enjoy your time with them. Mm-hmm. Set a good example. However, verse 28 is amazing. Check this out. So verse 20, I said it again. Check this out. Verse 28 says, but if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. So you go there to dinner and he brings out the food and you all sit down to eat together. And he says to you, by the way, this is the best meat in town. We just offered this to Zeus this morning. And you have the opportunity to say, you know what? Since you offered it to Zeus, I don't want to eat it. He brought it up. Now you have an opportunity to speak to his conscience. I don't believe in Zeus. I don't want anything to do with that. Speaks to his conscience. Pretty cool.
What if we find out on our own that they did this, or we just think they do?
Well, specifically here, if it has nothing to do with dinner, then you can leave it alone.
Okay, we need to do more of that, because I think we get into some areas where we get nitpicky.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to be an influence on people, but you're not going to... Remember what we said? They don't understand wisdom anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going to just explain everything to them right then. We have to be more clever than that. But if this comes up, they bring it up, then you have the opportunity to address it. Speak to their conscience. And by the way, that's how people get converted to Christ, is through their conscience. Sometimes it can be through intellectual discussion. It can happen. But until a person is repentant over their sin, right, they're not really going to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. You got an opportunity to be around this person and to be an influence on them. That's great. You don't have to bring up stuff. But if they bring it up, then you can say something.
Testimony is important.
Testimony.
I mean, there's a lot of times when I would personally think there's nothing wrong with this, but I wouldn't do it because if I did it in front of this guy, he's going to think there's something wrong with it.
Yes.
I didn't think there was nothing wrong with it, but it would have been wrong for me to do it in front of him if he thought it was wrong.
Good job, Larry. Good. That's
exactly
shrewd.
Right.
That's what's another word? Shrewd and what's
shrewd
and
discretion, prudence.
Yeah.
Yeah, prudence.
Well, if there's nothing wrong with it, why are you not... If there's nothing wrong with it for you to do it, why would it be wrong for him to
stumble? Because if it would cause him to stumble.
Non-Christian.
Yeah, non-Christian.
They're looking at me, and if I do something that they think, well, a Christian shouldn't...
You're having a glass of wine?
A Christian shouldn't do that. If they think a Christian shouldn't do it, and I'm doing it in front of them, it's going to hurt them. It's not going to hurt me. Example, okay? And I wasn't going to say this because some of you may not... Some of you might think it would be wrong, but I wouldn't think it was wrong. The guys at work, when I worked, would stand and throw quarters at the crack in the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think anything wrong with that. And the one closest would win everybody's quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it. I didn't think it was bad. But I didn't do it because they would have thought it was bad.
That you were doing
that
it.
I was doing it. They didn't think it was wrong. They were doing it.
As a Christian.
But as a Christian, it would hurt my testimony for God in front of them.
Yeah, all we're trying to say is that it's not just about you. That's what he's saying.
And what we think.
Yeah. You think about the people around you.
Same example was with your fuel card.
Oh, yeah. With the Casey's?
Yeah.
The fuel card at my work. So when I fill up the mail truck, I have a gas card. When I go to Casey's, it asks me if I want to enter my number for rewards. And every time I'm like, oh, man. All the rewards I could get filling up the mail truck. That's lots and lots of pizza. But you know, without having it set up ahead of time and done properly and everyone knowing that I'm doing it, it would be stealing.
What if you gave the money back at the end of the month when you got credit for it?
If it's a plan and everyone knows, I'm not stealing. Mm-hmm. But when I'm doing it secretly, when no one knows, I'm stealing. Now, everybody in this room might say, you know, what's the big deal? But it would only take one person to say, why did you think it was okay?
Just like Larry said,
why would you think it was okay for you to take those for yourself when we're the one paying for the gas? So you don't understand what I'm saying, Greg, or what we're saying? In your own opinion, being wise in your own eyes, whatever, you may think to yourself, this isn't a big deal. But that's not, the principle is, you don't just think about how it'll affect you. Think about how it'll affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a principle. I'm talking about principles of decision making, that's all. Not to be wise in your own opinion. Not to be wise in your own eyes. Okay, wisdom's benefits. Let's go through this list here in Proverbs 8. I don't want to skip anything. Starting at verse 14, Proverbs 8, 14, the benefits of wisdom. In verse 14, we have counsel and sound wisdom or sound judgment, understanding and strength. Counsel and judgment, that's guidance. Wisdom gives us guidance as we take a step. You know, in Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. Wisdom gives us guidance for every step. Counsel, advice. God's word gives us advice for decision making. Counsel and sound judgment. You know, Jesus is also called a wonderful counselor. He counsels us, and he's there for us in our time of need. Gives us wisdom to get through trials. Wisdom gives us understanding. Understanding is just the ability to grasp the truth, to get to the heart of an issue. Not only that, but wisdom gives us strength to do what's right. Verses 15 and 16, we're just talking about the benefits of wisdom. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. Government, if it's to be done right, is to be done with godly wisdom. But just applying this to ourselves, I think wisdom gives you the ability to lead, to set an example. We're told in the New Testament to lead by example. Set an example of love and faith and purity. Leadership skills. Verse 17 is a fantastic promise of wisdom. If you love wisdom, wisdom will love you back. And if you seek wisdom diligently, you will find it. You will find it. You know how we were talking about the lie in the Garden of Eden? The devil went to Eve and tried to make it seem like God was holding something back from her. God's not holding anything back from us. But if you seek wisdom, if you want to know the truth, God will give you the truth. It's a promise. That's what the verse means where in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean God will just give you whatever you want. You got to keep the first part with the second part. If your delight is the Lord, guess what he'll give you? More of himself. More of himself. If you want to know the truth, God will get you the truth. That's a promise. But Proverbs 8:17 says you have to put in effort. You got to study. You got to read.
So, Pastor, here's a practical question. So, a lot of people, some people don't put in as much effort. And if we do, and we have this knowledge or wisdom, it doesn't mean we go taking it and assuming everybody else should already know that. And
yes, everybody's at a different level. Yep. And you don't...
Please.
1 Corinthians 8 says knowledge puffs up. You got to be careful you don't become prideful.
Yes.
Because you know stuff.
Yeah.
And then you start looking down on people who don't know stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, knowledge puffs up.
And that love sneaks edifies. Up on us. That it sneaks yeah, up yeah, on us. Yeah, and yeah. I've seen it, and we got to be careful.
Well, if you're really seeking wisdom with the right heart, okay, it'll humble you. You won't be prideful. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 8.
Or go using it to bash other people with.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 8, 1. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And verse 8, 2 says, if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing.
Amen.
There's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
You start to think you know.
You think you do, and it's really missing the whole point, right? Lord, help us.
Take that from a recovering know-it-all. Got to be careful. Wisdom also blesses you with the things that money can't buy. Things that money can't buy. Verses 18 through 21 talk about riches and honor and wealth and treasuries. I don't think we're talking about money. You want to know why? Because verse 19 says, my fruit is better than gold. Mm. Right? We're talking about something more important than gold. We're talking about things that money can't buy. And the fruit of wisdom would be your character. Character. You can't buy character. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Character. A good name, a person who is recognized as a godly man or woman, who's faithful, trustworthy, kind. You know, not walking around bashing people on the head for their mistakes.
Or scowly all the time.
Yeah.
It's like...
What are you talking about? Don't bring that up.
Well, that's not right.
Yeah, that's not right. Yeah. Jesus was full of grace and truth, right? Jesus was full of grace and truth. There are times you got to speak up. He did that, too. You know, he overturned tables and he called people hypocrites. There's times for that, okay? But he was full of grace and truth. If you're just full of truth... You'll walk around pounding people on the skull.
Too much law, not enough love.
Yeah, if you're only full of grace, without truth, yes. Then you'll accept anything, and
right.
That's not okay either. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. So it's character. Wisdom gives us character, and something else that wisdom gives us that can't be bought is an inheritance. Mm-hmm. An inheritance, because wisdom teaches us that the things that matter most are eternal, not the temporary. Living forever in heaven with Christ is more important than having a big bank account here for the next few years. All of it's going to be gone, and then it's not going to matter. So wisdom teaches you it doesn't matter right now. We do what we have to do. We're told we got to work. We got to take care of our families and all that, but we focus on the things we can't see more than the things we can see. Okay, continuing on. I got to hurry. I always do this to myself. Wisdom at creation. Wisdom was there at creation. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting. Wisdom is eternal. Wisdom is eternal because God is eternal. And he has never not been wise. In fact, we're told in the New Testament, God alone is wise. That's who he is. That is his character. Colossians chapter 2, and... this is the only place we learn wisdom is from God. because he alone is wise. I was reading these verses this week when I was studying. Colossians chapter 2. This is how we do Bible study. We let Scripture teach us Scripture. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Pause for just a second. Notice how he says the riches of understanding. Like we're talking about in Proverbs. That's things money can't buy. The riches of the full assurance of understanding. To the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom belongs to God. Wisdom was there at the beginning when God was creating the heavens and the earth. When he was bringing forth the depths, the waters, bringing forth the fountains, the mountains, the hills, the primal dust of the world, which is what he used to make the first man, by the way, the primal dust, when he prepared the heavens. Wisdom was there. To think about, actually what I was thinking about when this week was to get to heaven and to actually have God explaining to us creation and all of the intricate details of how everything works together would just be incredible. I mean, just learning things now, you know, sometimes it blows our mind. But how God did all of that, how he put it together with his wisdom, and how it just runs, how he has made it to run and work and cycle, and just incredible. I don't know why this popped into my mind, but I know about this bird. There's a bird that it lives in Hawaii. Every year it flies to Alaska and lays eggs, okay? And then it leaves. It goes back to Hawaii. And the babies are born. And you know what they do?
Fly to Hawaii.
All on their own. They fly to Hawaii.
Isn't that cool?
They fly to Hawaii.
They eat enough food for the trip. And they all go together, you know, and they have to, you know, fly in a V. And they take turns with the leadership. And I'm trying to think while I'm telling the story what the name of it is.
Goose.
It's not a goose. I'll get the name and I'll let you guys know.
So the eggs aren't incubated? They sit there in the cold and they still hatch?
I'm telling you the truth.
Maybe it's not cold.
Maybe it's not cold, but
look
they
up
fly.
On the internet.
Yep, I'll get you the name at the end of class.
TikTok.
They
just kidding.
The birds hatch. The parents are not there, and the birds already know how much food they got to eat so that they can make it to Hawaii on one trip. Say it again.
Pacific golden plover.
Pacific golden plover. Look that up. God made that. God, you got it? Read it.
It says, in the fall, most Pacific golden plovers from Alaska probably make nonstop flight to Hawaii. Some winter there, other continue to other islands like Australia, New Zealand.
You can look into it a little bit further because the parents aren't there when it happens. The bird knows how to do it from birth, takes the trip. Pretty amazing. I was watching this creation series about animals giving babies or having babies, and it was just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Tarantulas, the weirdest stuff. The absolute weirdest stuff. I can't even get into it. I don't have time. But look up how tarantulas mate. It's crazy. Crazy. I'm serious. It is unreal. How in the world do they know how to do that stuff? And they only do this stuff at this certain time. Because the male has a special web that he makes just for this process. He makes the web down by the ground, and he goes under the web, and his reproductive fluids come out his back, and he rubs it on that web, and then he, during mating time, he grows these things on his front hands, and he scrapes that stuff off and keeps it in a pouch, and then he goes and finds a mate, and he knocks, he hits the web of the female.
Ding 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 ding.
Not kidding. He knows he's coming in. If she rings back,
ding, 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 ding,
the same way that he rings her. And then he knows he's invited up.
Unbelievable.
And he goes in, and he's got the...
time to study this stuff.
He's got the fluid in his hands, waiting for the right person to answer.
Oh, my God.
What What did you learn in Sunday school?
I don't know why that all popped into my head. But
creation, it's amazing.
Yeah, the way God has to create. Yeah, for yeah. She does try to bite him. He actually has a special web that he wraps around her fangs so that she can't bite him. I'm serious.
Oh, my gosh.
And the whole process is crazy. Manny's super happy he came to class today. Isn't that crazy?
How spiders need me.
But God made it that way. You tell me how all that could evolve.
Yes.
God made it
this
that
is
way.
Not, this is a, yeah. Speaks of a creator.
Yeah.
Yes. Tell them all. Let's
to know it. And to learn that kind of stuff and learn about space and just amazing. Okay, anyway, moving on. All that was free bonus material. God assigned, I'm up at verse 29. God assigned to the sea its limit. The ocean, its mighty waves, they roar, right? And they come up to the beach and they stop because God assigned the limit. Sometimes there's a flood, but even in that, it's God's wisdom. And guess what? After the flood, they go back to their limit. It's amazing. No climate change. The only climate change that's going to happen is when God burns everything up and starts fresh with a new heaven and new earth. Verse 30, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. Just picture how excited God was putting this stuff together. It says, daily his delight, rejoicing, rejoicing. As he's creating everything. Just the celebration. And then, this cool part is verse 31. Rejoicing in his inhabited world, my delight was with the sons of men. God was celebrating the creation of man. It's incredible to think about. Yeah, there's a couple different places where, you know, like David says, when I consider the heavens, you know, who is man that you are mindful of him? But not only is he mindful of us, he rejoices over us. And He loved us so much, he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. The one who created all this humbled himself and came to earth and died in our place so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And isn't it amazing as you flow through this that's where we end here in this section. We end with a choice. We end with a choice. Now therefore, verse 32, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. I say that a lot. Melissa can confirm this. I say I wish people would just read their Bible and believe it. Just listen to what God says and believe it. It would solve a lot of problems. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. And I'll end with
it's
this.
It's a warning.
It's such a perfect... In John 3, verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Jesus took the wrath of God on himself. When you read what happened to Jesus, you have to understand that's the cup that he was drinking. When he was being beaten, when he was being scourged, when he was being nailed to the cross, he was drinking the wrath of God upon himself. So that we don't have to. By his blood, we're washed clean, and we don't have to face the wrath of God. We are forgiven. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and that's how we know the promise of heaven is sure. Just think about the wisdom of God in salvation, that Jesus would become a man so that he could legally take our punishment, so that we could legally go free. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Oh, what a privilege we have to study the Word of God together. And Father, we thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. Being God and being outside of your creation, we only know wisdom because you share it. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the wisdom involved in salvation. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us and giving us the opportunity to repent, to turn from sin, and trust in Christ so that we could be forgiven. And I thank you for the resurrection of Christ that seals the promise of eternal life for us. Because he lives, we too will live. And we thank you for these things. Thank you for your word. Please give us a heart that desires to spend time in your word, hiding it in our heart so that we can walk in wisdom. Thank you so much. Please continue, Father, to bless this day. Please bless the service that's about to begin. Please bless the service tonight. Please use them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here, guys.
Thanks, Corey.